Gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar bone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know.
It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig is on the line. Hang on, Julie. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. Have you been listening to any of the show?
Good morning, Earl. Always a pleasure to be with you. One of my favorite parts of the week.
Have you ever been, have you listened to any of our conversation thus far?
I hate to listen to myself, but my mother listens, and
no, I'm talking about earlier.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was on a call.
Okay, so hang on.
Climate problem in Wisconsin.
So hang on. We've got Maggie Dawn. She's hanging on for a few minutes. You don't mind that?
No, not at all.
All right, we've got Julie from Franklin on the line, Dr. Craig, and what the discussion has been about. Is the we've got this dilemma that's happening in this country where, you know, people are frustrated about trans people, and, you know, we're talking about Target and Bud Light and how, you know, people have chosen to boycott Target and Bud Light because of catering, apparently, the way some people see it, catering to trans people. And Julie from Franklin has been kind enough. She's had a great conversation with Maggie. We want to continue that for a few minutes. You don't mind, do you?
No, not at all.
All right. So Julie, you and Maggie can continue the conversation. Dr. Craig, you jump in anywhere. Go ahead.
So I just, Julie, you had asked before the break if I am aware of what's going on. Yes, deeply aware of what's going on. And I completely agree with you that we should be trying to come together. And if in the trying to come together, we say that we believe in values of acceptance and tolerance towards others, I still don't understand what is the problem other than people telling us that there is a problem. If a child is having a gender identity question, why is that not a matter for the child and their parents and their doctor and that their faith community?
Oh, it absolutely is.
Okay. Then why?
I agree with you 100%.
Okay. Wonderful.
It's for the child and their parent.
We got one.
That's not what we're talking about. See, that's where we go off.
Like no, no, no. That is what we're talking about. We're talking about kids and the LGBTQ community and Target and all these things. And you made a statement that people feel that these things are being forced on them. And my argument to you is that that is a made up line of horse manure. Nobody is forcing anything on anybody except those that stand for intolerance and a lack of acceptance.
Julie?
Forcing isn't the wrong word. I used the wrong word then.
Okay.
But this is, I'm telling you, 90% of the people listening that are Republican or whatever that have my point of view are shaking their head, yes, that's exactly how we feel.
Okay, but why? Because someone tells you to feel that way?
Maggie, let her finish her point.
No.
Okay.
This is not about a child having an issue with their gender. That's not what anyone has a problem with. Nobody has a problem with that. The problem comes in is now you're when somebody says, when a group of people come out and say, hey, you're not going to tell me how to think now and want me to buy stuff from you. I'm not saying this is my opinion. They're not, it has nothing to do with little Jimmy who thinks he's little Julie. Nothing to do with that at all.
Okay, so you said someone's...
I think you're missing is this gets so turned around. I'll give you an example. When I lived in Florida, all we talked about, all everybody talked about was Ron DeSantis is going to, if you can't say gay in schools, he's banning the word gay and banning books that say gay. Not true at all. My cousin in Colorado, who is a valedictorian from North Carolina State, we have this conversation with her all the time, said the same thing. But DeSantis wants to take the word gay out of schools. No, he doesn't. That's not anything.
Okay, so tell me what his policy was then. What was the bill that he signed? What was it intended to do? And what wrong was it writing? What problem was it solving?
I don't agree with what Ron DeSantis was doing.
Okay.
So
the less the government is involved with us raising our children and living, the better off we are.
So Maggie,
Let me just ask a question about that.
Okay, because I want you to hang on 1 second because I want to bring Dr. Craig in.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dr. Craig, your response, sir.
And I know I just caught the second half of this discussion, or all it sounds like. And understanding, respecting, you know, where the caller's coming from, and she's being very honest and sharing
news
on radio, which is great. The way I see it, really, our rights end when they conflict with other people's rights.
Yes,
this is something that actually most Republicans and conservatives used to accept, right? That's the limitation, and I do think that that people's felt right to be against something that's strange to them and that therefore they think is abnormal, that cannot infringe upon the right of people self-determination to be who they are, right? And that's the problem with this, because I think I don't think it's Julie, because she sounds very well intended, but I think there are powerful actors out there who are trying to find the next scary group to target in order to divide and build power and polarize. And that's why the whole kind of concern over trans people and trans youth has been drummed up. And it's very scary to me, because there's massively high suicide rates among all gay teens and especially trans teens. And this hysteria may be politically valuable, and there are plenty of well-intended people caught up in it, but it's killing people. And the thing about the boycotts that Julie brought up, I mean, during Jim Crow South, Earl, a restaurant, you know, violated the idea, you know, of segregated eating, right? They got boycotted by the white customers because they didn't think it was right. I have to say that using your economic power in order to reinforce hatred and bigotry of others is
wrong.
Not a very ethical thing to do, even if it's effective.
Julie. Julie, are you there?
I am. Can you not hear me?
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So we could talk. I mean, we could have great discussions all day, because I think we're kind of going off in, you know, the discussion goes off into all kinds of areas. I do, once again, I like what Dr. Craig was saying, we're being led down this path by extremists on both sides. It's been like this forever. If you go back and look in history, the race card comes up. It's religion, and it's almost like I don't know how we get past it, because the people on the extreme ends of the right and the left are usually the ones that are elected and run the country or have a voice, you know, or the media, you know, puts them on. So I think if you took, you know, average Americans, that we would all be on the same page. We want everybody. We want to accept everybody. That's not that.
Then why worry about the target ad display? If you want to accept everybody, then why is the target ad display a problem?
I know. The ad display isn't just that's just one little thing. And I think I agree with you. If Target had like one little ad with a rainbow flag on it or whatever, so dumb to even bring it up. It's not just that. It's an accumulation.
But what is the accumulation? I think what Dr. Craig and I are trying to respectfully suggest is that there are people that are inflaming and exaggerating these things and doing so intentionally. And I'm very impressed and humbled by your willingness to engage in the discussion. And one of the reasons that I was asking the questions in the way that I was is to say, let's drill down now. There is a generalized perception of a threat. And I am asking the question, tell me what the threat is, because I think folks are lying to you about it.
Hey, Julie, thank you very much for taking the time to interact with us. Took a lot of courage, and you did a more than admirable job explaining what others are thinking. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much from the depth of my heart. We've got to go to a break. Tom, CJ, Dr. Craig, we'll come back on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. It was at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Just want to thank Julie, for, you know, having the courage to have the conversation with us. And always Maggie Dawn, who will be kicking off her own show June 5th. At 6 p.m. following the Devils, 6 to 7 p.m., Maggie Dawn with the Maggie Dawn Show will be joining our lineup. So excited about that. Let's go back to Dr. Craig. Dr. Craig, before we go back to the phone lines, what emanated the conversation again was the fact that we're just at a point, Dr. Craig, where with all the serious issues that impact and affect this society, the debt ceiling amongst others, not a whole lot of calls of people who are interested in those things, which really are more impactful in our lives than any Bud Light commercial or whatever you know, things they're selling at Target. But we've somehow, somebody's captured the minds of American people to deal with frivolous things that don't have the impact of the real issues that we're missing. Am I off base?
No, not at all, Earl. And let me just say before I answer that that's great to hear about Maggie's show. That's going to be great radio, another great addition to the Civic Media lineup. But to your question, this has been a part of conservatism for well over 100 years, but it's gotten worse and worse and more metastasized. We call it a culture war strategy. The idea is that as a formerly marginalized group that was good political fodder, right, becomes finally gains emancipation and acceptance, then they find someone else, and the emancipation acceptance of earlier groups empowers other groups to come out of the shadows, right? So the victory on gay marriage for people who have stable gender but are as a larger group but are lesbians or gay men, right? That helped empower a whole other group that are in a different category and that were in the shadows for not just generations, for most of human history, right? And that what the right then, the people who gain from them, billionaires, big corporations, figure that entrepreneurs like Ron DeSantis figure how we can stigmatize and create fear about those people. It's just like what Anita Bryant did in the 1970s around gay people and gay teachers, right? It's the same script over and over again, just different targets. Now you can't really target Latino and Latina people who live here, but you can target people who don't have status, who are pouring over the border. Same thing, right? Allegedly pouring over the border. So they're able to foment these panics, and there are other groups we haven't thought of that can be targets down the road. Now they're not rallying so much against gay marriage, right? But they were before, and in fact, they had a big referendum to outlaw gay marriage in Wisconsin that helped them win an election in 2004. And so but now they've had to move on to other targets. So that's what we're facing. And one thing I know, Julie, I agree with you, very well intended and willing to talk openly. When she talked about extremists on both sides, I just want to be mindful that a lot of the people who are being framed as extremists by the Ron DeSantis are advocates for a group that is seeking emancipation and full participation in our society and to come out of the shadows. And is very much like the claim that, what happened in the civil rights movement in the 1950s, that was extremes on both sides. Dr. King's extremist folks who were asking for too much and challenging.
And too fast, and too fast.
People who shouldn't be bombing churches and threatening or trying to murder ministers and civil rights workers. That just wasn't true. There was one group of extremists, and it was the white supremacists, and that's true today in this case.
So Dr. Craig, hang on. C.J. Tum, I'll come to you on the other side, I promise. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Patience long, but soon he won't have any to find a job. It's like a haystack needle, 'cause where he lives, they don't use colored people.
can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. CJ, thank you for hanging on. You want to say what?
Well, when I called earlier, I don't know at what point I was cut off. But
well, we didn't cut you off. We didn't cut you off.
No, I know my phone.
Okay.
Went
all right, go ahead.
Listening to Maggie and Dr. Craig, I believe that it was a marketing ploy to persuade people. You know, you look at people that preach tolerance, the LGBTQ community, their intolerance towards Riley James. It took COVID. Oh, first off, the bill in Florida was called the Parental Rights in Education Bill, and it was directed towards kindergartners through third grade. And the books weren't banned. They won't allow them to be used as educational material. So we found out what the kids weren't learning during COVID. And so we want parents involved, first off. Republicans do, anyways. Riley Gaines, you see how she was tolerated. She wants to be a XX chromosome and a woman competing against XX other women chromosomes. Not XY, and because who's intolerant? This Thomas guy or girl wants to compete against all women. I think Republicans have stood up for women and girls all across the country in fairness. This intolerance or these social issues have been forced upon people.
You know what,
that's
CJ?
That's why it was $1 billion.
CJ, loss. I'm on this radio station 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, and I scour many places for subjects. I don't even know who those people are you're talking about. So that's the point. I don't even know who those people are. Why does it matter to you?
She was ran out of a college. Not
did you just hear me say, I don't even know who those
transgender people. Forcing her not to, she's the one that's intolerant. She wants to receive scholarships, awards, money for women competing against women. Is that wrong to you, Earl?
So listen, man. I told you, I don't even know who those people are because it doesn't impact or affect my life. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to CJ?
Well, there's a lot of stuff here. He started out with the marketing of a marketing ploy, I think, by Target and Bud Light.
Right.
But then he also talked about some, I think he suggested they had some kind of agenda, what the
scientists, yes.
CJ didn't use this, what we call a woke agenda. I'm always surprised how many conservatives, including elected conservatives, don't actually understand business motives. At all, or refuse to. It's all about marketing. They see a growing market. They see people coming out of the shadows and embracing their true identity, and they see sales there. Period. They don't have a political position. So that's what I'd say about that. I remember when I was a little kid. Remember Montgomery Ward?
Oh, absolutely, Chicago.
Yeah, and I, you know, as a little kid in the 70s, I remember
the magazine.
Up, it's kind of comical now.
Yeah, the big book.
A homeland section that tried to tie into to the Pan-African movement. They had a lot of African-style garb for black folks who would be proud of their African heritage. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I remember it.
Because Montgomery Ward gave a damn about black heritage and the African roots. And the diaspora, because they saw a market, right? And same thing. Now, he talked about the conservatives operate on the basis of a moral emotion of disgust. So they have to have a group they can generate that emotion with. And once people feel disgust, you can't have it's hard to have a rational conversation about it. So what you notice, and this is packed into all the anti-LGBTQIA+ kind of rhetoric from the right, that it was somehow sacrilegious to expose little kids to the fact that there are trans people in the world, right? And have fiction about them, have characters that are trans. And it used to be and it's still to some degree with some of the book banning that they were gay at all, right? Such as, you know, they were banning the book that says, that you have someone has two mommies. I've forgotten the name of the fictional girl. But here's the thing, presenting heterosexual couples that there's a man and a woman, that is not seen as sexual. You see, they sexualize people who don't follow the normal norm. There's nothing inherently sexual in terms of exposing kids to sex about the existence of gay people and trans people and all the other elements of the rainbow in that are covered by LGBTQIA+. And so that's part of the trick here. Why is it that having a mommy and daddy and a father and a mother is not exposing kids to sex in all these stories, but having two mommies who are lesbian, that is somehow sexual content? It's just, it's complete propaganda and lies, but it has its effect on average people who are being exposed to their communication.
So let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Hey, just fine on this beautiful day. there's just so much going on here, as always on your program. I love it. First thing I want to say is that I heard a bunch of false equivalencies from a previous caller. But the biggest issue is these are people that claim to be looking out for one group or another group or another group, but really what they're doing is they're using the vilification of one group to try to drum up their own support. If there were decent programs that the Republicans had, then they wouldn't have to do this. But most of what the Republicans want to do is destroy or tear down our government that at least benefits the average person. And I'm getting real tired of, you know, this vilification of other groups when they don't really have anything else to say. It goes on and on. The other thing is that we've got people that apparently think that they're experts on what to teach in school. They're experts on how the FDA approves drugs. They're experts on environmental protection. And they completely ignore the fact that really there are people who are real experts on these, educators that understand and have studied what's appropriate to teach in schools, people in labs at the FDA and who do studies of various drugs, people that are in labs that have a scientific look at our environment and say what's safe and what's not. And all of a sudden, we've got all of these other different people that are trying to stick their noses into something that they really, truly do not understand. They don't have a background. They don't have the knowledge. I'm just so frustrated at this kind of stuff. It's just, I'm running out of words. So.
Hey, Jack, thank you very much as always, man. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, Bill, what do you say?
To CJ, boy, keep him on the air as much as possible, and here's why. Today is the first time, and my hat's off to you, CJ, if you're listening. He came on, he wasn't shouting, he wasn't emotional, he presented his point of view, and you listened to him and, you know, debated the issue. But here's my point to CJ. I'm not saying what he's talking about isn't worth discussion, but here's what, his house is burning, and he's worried about a weed in somebody else's lawn. Hey, your house is on fire. It's going down in ashes.
That's a great analogy, by the way, Bill. It really is.
And here's what I mean by it. 14,000, now I think it's 15,000 children have been murdered by assault weapons, and people, 95.8% of these are right-wing extremists that are murdering our children. Let's put that on the table. And let's not take guns off the table, because here's the simple fact. If you and I had an altercation and we were young, Earl, we would probably, back in our day, we'd get in a fist fight.
Yeah, we'd duke it out.
I'd go home with a black eye, you go home with whatever, bloody nose.
Yes.
And our moms and dads would say, don't get in fights, boys, move on. And we did. Now, we pull a weapon and it's Dodge City and somebody dies. For some reason, CJ doesn't seem to have that at the top of his list. And their method of handling the guns, man, if they ran alcoholism or did that, they're just giving more alcohol to alcoholics, because that's their answer for everything. More guns. Well, we tried to more guns. We waited for the good guy with a gun to show up. Now, CJ, let's come to the table and do something really good. Let's roll back to 14,000. Let's get guns under control. They're out of control, CJ.
Hey, Bill.
That's a lot more important, CJ, than the beer you drink. If you don't like Bud Light, don't drink Bud Light. That's fine with me. I like Bud Light. I had a dog named Bud Light. I'm going to drink Bud Light. And I don't care who stands for it. But I really care if my kids are murdered in their school.
Hey, Bill, well said as always, my friend. Dr. Craig?
Very well said, both of the last callers.
Yes.
Very well said. And these divisions are for power, right? And the question is to get people to see it, right? And here's the opportunity. One thing all Americans of all stripes don't like is being manipulated, right? But you have to, like, bring people to see that they're being manipulated. And then people don't like to be had, right? That's the critical thing here. You have to see that a Ron DeSantis, who's just a bully and a demagogue, is just going to figure out some other way to divide and get power, and that it's all fluid and there aren't real facts behind it, right? It's just finding his angle. I like the last caller's analogy to shouting weed when there's a fire, right?
Yes.
In your house. Now, that wouldn't work if you could see the fire. So pressing on the metaphor, okay, the fire is hidden in the house. You know, sometimes a fire is not immediately, you know, flames aren't coming out of the top. And someone, a Ron DeSantis type, is getting you upset about the weeds in the lawn next door that are going to get into your perfect lawn because you de-weed.
Yes.
And therefore what happens is, and this is how it ends, your house ends up burning down because you don't see the fire because right. You're worried about the damn weeds. It don't really matter.
well said, Dr. Craig. It really... Dr. Craig, if only this type of conversation can be had every day on outlets across the nation, we can probably begin to get somewhere, right? I mean, to get people to focus on what's real and what's really important. As I said before, I don't care what they are having and what they're selling in Target. I go to Target if I'm going there to get something in particular. And if I want a Bud Light, nobody's going to talk me into not drinking a Bud Light because I make my own decisions, right? I mean, that's who we are. We make our own individual decisions. Got to go to a break. Eric, I see you from Tulsa. We'll be back on the other side.
I was made to love from a world long
minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. I got to tell you, I really do love doing this. I am as blessed a person as there could be to be able to have the opportunity to bring on guests like Maggie and Dr. Craig and interact with the people of this radio station and the audience, both Democrats and Republicans. It is an honor that I will forever cherish because there aren't many people who get that opportunity. And dialogues like what we've had today just enhance my view of having the opportunity to have these, the importance of these airways. You know, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Hey, Eric, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr. Craig. I think it's still morning. Yep, still morning. This has been a long conversation. It kind of started out even earlier, and it all kind of ties together with what you're talking about in the criminal justice system.
Yes.
And like everything in this country, you know, it's based on a value system, and that some lives have more perceived value than others in our society, and that's been built up, obviously, by the ruling class and the church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why I see a challenge with this is to honestly separate all of these right-wing kind of beliefs from the church is a difficult thing because the most valuable lives in this country perceived by society, you know, and those that control things are, you know, white Christian cis males. And anybody, you know, through this conditioning, it begins at a young age, and anybody outside that group has a challenge because that group's going to lay waste, you know, to the rest in a sense. It's just the way it's been kind of designed. It's unfortunate. I'm in that group, and I feel like an albatross at times. I really like what Dr. Craig said earlier, where he applied, you know, the sexuality of you know, the LGBTQ community, because I remember long ago I recognized the word homosexual just as a term. It's like I kind of created my own homosocial term just because it was like homosexual doesn't seem, you know, there are many people there. That part of it is a choice or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't describe people adequately. It just sidelines them.
It kind of dehumanizes, you know.
Exactly, exactly. It points to the one aspect of their lives that may not even be a part of their lives. And again, back to the church and what I see about the, you know, a lot of the things that say CJ brings up and you were debating with the caller earlier is like it's the GOP's version of a coalition. You know, if they can get a little hate here and a little marginalizing here, next thing you know, they have a plurality of people to exploit. And it kind of builds from there. And last but not least, I'll say this is the scary thing that I heard is that where CJ was saying Republicans are standing up for women and little girls. Tell me that doesn't reek of the justifications for lynching. You know, they were protecting the white women back in the 1800s when they were lynching black males. It's the same sort of eerie kind of connection. And
Eric, thank you very much as always, man. Good stuff. You know, Dr. Craig, we talk about politics a lot, and this subject here that we are having is one that has to be clarified in this country, and it has to be called out for what it is, doesn't it, Dr. Craig? Because of the inherent dangers associated with the misinformation that's being spewed out here?
Yeah, and I would define, I would dig in on the what call out means. You see, if we're calling, and I know what you mean by it, but sometimes people use by that word, Earl, that somehow if you just state that the other person's being unethical or immoral or, you know, oppressing other people, that you've done your bit because you've expressed your moral position, right? I think our obligation is to be effective in showing the true path, right? To be evangelists, so to speak, of the right. And there's always this dichotomy between exploitive people that will use anything, no matter what its consequences and harm, to advance themselves. And that's unfortunately what the right-wing politicians that do this are, quite frankly. And we have to have a lot more sympathy for the people who are just receivers of this information and misinformation to all of the right-wing media sources, right? Where they're folks that we just need to address as fellow human beings and try to find common ground and bring them to see, right? There's just the difference between George Wallace and someone who grew up in a segregationist society and drunk a whole lot of stuff that you want to help them see the light around, right? And to doubt. It's hard for people to doubt the way they were brought up. Eric's totally right. I mean, that's why the word became gay rather than homosexual. People who were not heteronormative were defined by their sexual acts, right? And we don't define the majority that way, right? And we come from a very prudish tradition where, do you remember, Earl, that the Dick Van Dyke Show?
Oh, absolutely.
Separate little single bed.
I talk about that all the time.
It took a while for them to not think it was sexual to have the husband and wife sitting in the same bed, lying in the same bed, right? And so that we need to get over that, but it's still being exploited because I really do think that a lot of the disgust that's being created is the idea that by talking about trans people, we're talking about sex with little kids and that's immoral. And we're not, okay? We're just not, any more than having a daddy and a mommy means talking about sex and how and the birds and the bees, right? For real, not just the,
right.
the childhood, the child kind of rhyme version. But I think we got to bring people around because what's happening is that if the folks get their way who are using this for power, then they're exploiting for other reasons, right? They want to go and continue to carve up this society so that the most privileged among us, the ultra rich and the largest corporations, keep getting a lion's share of the benefit of our society and then blaming other people who have nothing to do with it, like people looking for freedom and safety in this country as causing the problem, or trans people causing the problem, et cetera. Or, you know, false equivalencies, like somehow the January 6th riots and the Black Lives Matter movement and
one and the same
movement are somehow the same
right.
thing, right? And somehow whataboutism, the Democrats want to let off all the Black Lives Matter rioters. It's a big lie that was the case.
Hey, Dr. Craig. Dr. Craig, we got to go, man. Thank you as always. I love the conversation. We'll be back in touch a week from now. Thank everybody who made the show go.